Tonight's shir is on Haftoras Mitzorah, which is the Haftorah that we read this week. And the title of the shir tonight is The Leprosy of Gehazi. So tonight we're going to look at a couple of psukim from Melachim Beis. And it references this famous story about Elisha and Gehazi, which we'll go into. And there's a gemara that we're going to analyze as well in the shir. So let's look in source number one. It's the beginning of it's Melachim Beis Perek Zion. And it starts with, we're going to start with Pasuk Aleph. Really, the Haftorah starts with Gimel. So it says like this. Vayomar Elisha Shimu Devar Hashem, Komar Hashem, Ka'is Machar, Sa'as Solis B'Shekel, V'Sa'as Sayim, Sa'orim B'Shekel, B'Shar Shomron. So there's a big famine at that time in the Shomron, in Eretz Yisrael. And Elisha made a statement that there was going to be a great miracle, that on the next day, the day later, the price of food was going to be so cheap because there was going to be such an abundance of food in Shomron. And in Beis, it says, Vayam shalish asher lamelch nishan al yado es isha alokim, vayomar hine Hashem ose arubos bashamayim haya davar hazeh, vayomar, hincha roe beinecho misham lo sochel. So the king's officer doubted this nevuah of Elisha, and he said, is Hashem going to create windows in the sky in Shamayim? And Elisha responds, and he says, you're going to see this miracle occur, but you're not going to eat from this miracle. And then the Haftorah starts with a story of how the miracle occurs, and the beginning of it starts with these mitzoraim. It says in Gimel, V'arba anashim hayu mitzoraim pesach ashar, v'yomru ish al-re'yu ma anachni yoshvim po ad masnu. So there are four mitzoraim that are outside the walled city, the gate to the walled city, in the Shomron, and they said to their friends, what are we doing here? We're going to die from famine. And the story in the Haftorah is that they end up finding that the camp of Aram, which is one of the enemies of Klal Yisrael at the time, was they left, basically. They abandoned their camp, and the Jews plundered it. It was a great nace, and all the abundance of food now came about, that miracle, that nace came about, and the Jews had access to all the food of the camp of Aram. So it was true, the nevuah took place, and at the end of the story it says that the officer that claimed that the nevuah wouldn't take place, that the nace wouldn't take place, was trampled on by everybody, and he died. But the beginning of the story starts with the individuals who discovered this Machane Aram, which ended up ending the famine. And it starts with these four mitzorayim, these four lepers. And the question is, who were these people? Who were these lepers? So this is where we're going to get into the shir. So Rashi says in source number two that the four lepers, V'arban Hashem, Gehazi, Ubanav. So there was a man named Gehazi, which I'll explain to you based on Melachim, and his children. So Gehazi and his three sons were the four lepers at the beginning of the story of our Haftorah. And why were they sitting outside? Because it says in source number two in Rashi, Pesach Hashar, Kemosh Nemar, Badad Yeshe Mechutz Machane Moshevo. So the Mitzrayim, the people with Tzaras, part of the purity of the Mitzorah, or part of the Dinim of the Mitzorah, demanded that they were outside of the city. They couldn't be in the city with everybody else. And these four individuals, who are Gehazi and his children, were the individuals of the story of Ahar of Torah. So the question is, who is this Gehazi, of course, and what's the relevance of teaching us in Rashi? And he quotes a Gemara that we'll look at, that he and his children had Tzaras. What can we glean from that? So if we look in the Malbim, look in source number three, and then we'll do the Gemara, which explains the whole story of Gehazi. So the Malbim says, V'arba Nashim, Perish Chazal, Shehaya Gehazi, Ushol Shabanov. So the Malbim quotes the Gemara in Sota, which we're going to do next, which is that the four lepers were Gehazi and his three sons. Ki Mitzorayim Acherim, Rafa Elisha. So how do we know that it was Gehazi and his sons? Because Elisha, the prophet, had healed other Tzaras, had healed other Mitzorayim. Kol Shekein Minaman. Because there's a story that we're going to go into that Elisha, he healed this this non-Jewish general named Naaman. So Elisha was known to be able to cure Tzaras, but yet we see that these four lepers, they weren't cured. So who were they? They were Gehazi and his three sons. So Gehazi and his sons, they had a Tzaras that wasn't able to be cured by Elisha. And so we have to understand what the nature of their tzaras was. Who was Gehazi? Who were his children? Why is he sitting outside the camp? And why did he have this tzaras? According to the Malbim, it was him because he had a tzaras that wasn't able to be cured by Elisha. So what is the nature of this tzaras? They were never cured of their tzaras. Gehazi was unable to be cured of his tzaras. So since they were stricken with tzaras in the Shomron, they had to be sent out of the walled city, and they had to sit outside the city. So again, just up to this point, we have a limited amount of facts. But basically, at the beginning of our Haftorah, which starts with the story of how this Nes occurred and the Jews got all this food, the individuals who were sitting outside, the Mitzorayim, the ones who had tzaras, the lepers, were Gehazi and his three sons, and they had a leprosy that was incurable. So the question is, who is this Gehazi? What's the whole story here? What's the background, and what's the relevance? So we'll try to explain or answer all those questions. So let's look at the Gemara that the Malbim and Rashi and in the actual Mikros Gedolos quotes the Gemara as well in Sota. It's also in Sanhedrin as well, the same Gemara. So there's two Gemaras. In source number 4, it says Tanur Rabbanan. So our rabbis taught Shlosha Chala'in Chala Elisha. So there are three sicknesses that Elisha was stricken with, or there are three times that Elisha got sick. Echad Shegira Dubim Betinokos. So the first reason that Elisha got sick was because he sent out these bears. There was this miracle. These children were making fun of him. They were calling him Baldy Baldy because he was bald. And there was some nace that he sent out these bears, and the bears ate the children. And look at Rashi. He says, Echad Shegira Dubim, Be'avon Shegira Dubim Betinokos. So because he did that, there was an avera there. And because he did that, which is a different story, and we're not going to take up tonight, but because he did that, so he was stricken with a sickness. He was punished. The echad shedachvu legechazi b'shtei adayim. So the second reason why he became sick, or the second event of his sickness, was caused by the fact that he pushed Gehazi away with his two hands. The echad shemespo, and the third one is the sickness that he died from. Shnamar, as it says in the pasuk, ve'elisha chala eschalyo asher yamuspo. So the pasuk proves that he was sick three times, because Rashi says, look in source number 5, in the second line, chala, chad, that's one, eschalyo tre, chalyo is two, the chad asher yamuspo, and one of them is the one that he died from. So there are three sicknesses of Elisha. The first one was because of the bear incident. The second one was because he pushed Gehazi with his two hands. And the third one was the fact that he got sick before he died. So what is this Memra is mentioning that Gehazi was one of the reasons why he got sick, because the way Elisha treated Gehazi, that he pushed him with his two hands, that's one of the reasons why he got sick. So we're going to explain what exactly that means. What did he do wrong? What did Elisha do wrong? What's the whole background with Gehazi? What's the whole story with him? It's a very interesting story in Malachim. But first we'll look at the Gemara, and then we'll go into the story a little bit and try to give some insight into the personality of Elisha. So the next Gemara, right after this, goes into the idea that Elisha pushed Gehazi, his student, away with his two hands. So it says, Tanur Rabbanan. So rabbis taught, Le'olam tehe smol doche v'yamin mekareves. You should always push away with the left hand, and you should bring close with the right. Lo ke Elisha, not like Elisha, the Navi, shedachvu legechazi b'shtei yadav. So he did something wrong here. Elisha pushed away Gehazi with his two hands. And Gehazi, again, was one of the lepers in the beginning of our Haftorah. So why did he push him away? Velo ki Yoshua ben Prachia shedachvu le'echa mitamidav b'shtei yadav. So the Gemara says that there are two cases which we shouldn't... one is of Elisha, who pushed away Gehazi, and the other one was of Yoshua ben Prachia, how he pushed away one of his Hamidim with his two hands. So what is this idea? We have to analyze this. That's the first question. What is the concept, or what is the idea that you should be docha, you should push away somebody with your left hand and bring him close with your right hand? And Elisha and Yoshua ben Prachia were both flawed in the sense that they pushed away with both hands. We don't even know what that means. So let's explain. Elisha Mahi, what's the story of Elisha? How did he push away Gehazi with two hands? So now we're going to have to do a little history, a little lesson on Malachim, just facts. Dichsiv, as it says, Vayomer Naaman Hoel Kach Kikarim. Sorry, it says Kikarim, I think. So Naaman said to Gehazi, take 2 talents of silver. Okay, so let me just give you a little background, because I didn't want to print out the whole Malachim Beis. I didn't have enough room on the paper. So I'll just give you a quick summary of the story, and then we'll take it up from the Gemara's point. So the story is, so now we're going to story time, and Perek Hay in Malachim Beis, the story is that there was a great general named Naaman, and Naaman was he was not a friend of the Jews, and he had tsaras. He had this incurable type of tsaras, and his wife's maidservant says to go to the Jews so they can cure it. So and what ends up happening eventually is that Elisha gets involved, and Elisha tells this Naaman figure that he should go to the Yarden, go to the Jordan River, and dip in the Yarden 7 times, and after that you'll be cured. And at first, Naaman laughs at this, and he says, ha ha ha, like, how is this going to happen? I have access to the best springs, the best water possible, and it hasn't cured me from my tzaras. How is this going to happen? That I'm just going to go into the regular Jordan River, and it's going to cure me of my tzaras. So sure enough, they convince him that he has nothing to lose by trying it. So he goes in to the Yarden, he dips in 7 times, like Elisha prescribed, and he ends up being cured of his tzaras. So afterwards, he's very grateful to Elisha, Naaman, and he goes to Elisha and he offers to give him stuff, and Elisha turns him down, and he says, no, I don't want anything. So after that, his student, Elisha's student, was Gehazi, and Gehazi, he decides to run after Naaman, and he ends up lying to Naaman, which will go in, and he takes money from Naaman, which was really not in line with what Elisha wanted to do. Elisha didn't want to take anything from Naaman. He didn't want any gold or silver or anything. But Gehazi takes 2 talents of silver and clothing. So the Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara. That's the basic summary of the story. So there's so if you go back to the Gemara in 2 lines down, it says, Vayomer Naaman ho al kach kikrayim. So Naaman said, take these 2 talents of silver to Gehazi. Because Gehazi said, really, Elisha did want to take something, and he convinces Naaman, and Naaman gives him 2 talents of silver. Uksiv, and then Elisha finds out, and he says to Gehazi, he finds out that Gehazi went behind his back, and he says, Vayomrei love, lo libi halach kasher hafach ish me'al merkavdo lekrasecho, ha'es lakachas es hakesef, lakachas begadim zeisim u'chormim etzonu v'akar, v'avadim u'shvachos. So Elisha finds out about how Gehazi went behind his back, and he confronts him, and he says to him, Was not my heart with you when you went to Naaman? Meaning, I didn't support this. Is it a time to take money, to take clothing, to take olives, to take vineyards, to take cattle, to take slaves, maidservants? So when Elisha confronts Gehazi, he says to Gehazi, "Was it really appropriate for you to take all these things?" So the Gemara says, "Umishako kulehai." Did he really take all that? Because the story is that he only took 2 talents of silver and begadim, kesef u'begadim hudishakil. So Gehazi, he only asked from Naaman, or he only took from Naaman the silver and the clothes. But when Elisha addresses Gehazi, he says, you took all this other stuff. So the Gemara says, it's strange. Why did he say that? Why did Elisha say that to Gehazi, is it time to take all this stuff, when Gehazi didn't do as much as Elisha tried to accuse him of? And okay, so the Rashi, look at Rashi in source number 7. He says, Mishakel kulehai, b'hai krak siv, shmona dvarim, kesef v'gadim, etzonu v'akar, v'avadim, shvachot, v'zeisim v'choramim. So Elisha is saying 8 things, and he only took 2 things. Gehazi only took kesef, and he took the begadim, he took clothing. So what is Elisha saying here? So Amar Vitzchak, Sir Vitzchak said, b'osa shah, haya Elisha osek b'shmona shratzim. So Elisha was learning Gemara Shabbos at that time, and he was learning about Tumah and Tahara. Amar Lo, so he said to Gehazi, Rasha, you are a Rasha. Higia eis lito schar shmona shratzim. Now is the time for you to receive the reward for learning shmona shratzim about Tumah. V'tzaras Naaman tidbak b'cha uvizaracha le'olam. So the tzaras of Naaman, the one who Elisha had cured, will now cling to you and all your children forever. And then it takes on our story in our Haftorah that the four individuals with Taras were Gehazi and his 3 sons. So again, so the Gemara says that Elisha did something wrong here. He pushed Gehazi away with 2 hands. And the Gemara says, why, or what's the story? So the Gemara says, that Elisha, when he confronted Gehazi, because Gehazi was a student and he kind of crossed him, he went to Naaman and he asked him for money, despite the fact that Elisha didn't want to take anything from Naaman. So what ends up happening is that Elisha confronts Gehazi and he says, "You are a Rasha," and he ends up afflicting him with tsaras. The tsaras of Naaman, the very person that he cured, clings to Gehazi and his sons, and now Gehazi has this incurable tsaras. Okay, so again, the question, so hopefully if anybody wants me to repeat the story, I'll do it again. But the question is on this Gehazi and Elisha back and forth, what was the flaw of Elisha? What exactly did he do wrong? And we have to understand why he afflicted Gehazi with this tsaras. So we have to understand that those ideas. Okay, so those are the questions. And I'm going to read through the rest of the Gemara, and then, like I said, we're going to go through it a little slower, but I just want to just present all the facts first, and then we'll understand it. So the story up till now, I think, is clear. If anybody has any questions just on the facts of the story, just ask now. I don't mind repeating different elements. But basically, there was a bad guy, Naaman. Elisha was the prophet. Elisha saves Naaman, Gehazi. Naaman wants to give Elisha money. Elisha refuses. Then Gehazi, the student of Elisha, presents himself, races after Naaman, and he says, no, Elisha wanted the money. So he takes two silver pieces and clothing, and then Elisha confronts Gehazi about it. But in the confrontation, he overestimates what Gehazi took. And furthermore, he ends up afflicting him with tsaras. So what happens after that? So it says, we'll go back to the Gemara. So Vayelech Elisha Damasek. So soon after, maybe a parak later, Elisha goes to Damasek. Lama halach. Why did he go to Damasek, the place of Damasek? Why did he go there? Amar of Yochanan shahalach leachzir legechazi b'tshuva. So he was trying to bring Gehazi to do tshuva. So at first, Elisha caused Gehazi to have tsaras, incurable tsaras. And now, Elisha was going after the fact to try to bring Gehazi back, b'tshuva. Velo chazar. But Gehazi did not do tshuva. So why not? Amar lo, chazor b'cha. So Elisha said to him, you should go do tshuva. Amar lo, he said, kach nikublonu memcha. So I've learned this from you, from Elisha. Kol mi shechata v'hechti es harabim, ein maspikim b'yada lasos tshuva. Anybody who's a sinner and causes others to sin, it's not enough for him. It's difficult for him to do tshuva. So Gehazi responds to Elisha, I can't do tshuva because I cause others to sin. And what did he do? In the end, this is interesting. My avad. So what did Gehazi do? What was his flaw? Ika da amri even shu eves talo lechatas yiravam behamidu bein shemaim laaretz. So some say that he took. This is what the Mefarshim explained. The Mefarshim say that he took like magnets. There was a big idol that Yeravam set up, avodah zarah, and he put magnets in the room with the idol, and the idol was drawn to the magnets, and it made it appear like it was flying, even though it was just the magnetic force of the magnets pushing it up in the air. So he caused other people to believe that this idol had some type of supernatural power, even though it was just with magnets. So that's one side. The ikad amri shem chakak la puma v'haiso ameras anochi v'lo yelecha. Others say that Gehazi, he wrote the name of Hashem on this idol of Yeravam, and the idol was saying Anochi v'lo yelecha, and it was repeating that, or it said Anochi, so it was a replacement of God. Then the last one, the Ikad Amri, Rabbanan Dacha Mikamei. So the other possibility is that that Gehazi stopped students from learning with Elisha. Dichsiv, Vayom Rubinan Avim Elisha, Hinei Noam Akom Asher Anachli Yoshim Sham Fanechat Sarmi Menu, Michlal Da'ad Inna Lo Hava Dachik. So the students of Elisha started leaving him. They weren't learning with him because they said that it's too narrow for us to sit here, which really was a reference to the idea that Gehazi was preventing students from learning with Elisha. He was trying to prevent people from learning from him. So that's the end of the story. So there's a lot of interesting points here, just factually, and I think it's fascinating. But basically, the story is that Elisha was flawed in the way that he approached Gehazi, but also Gehazi himself was a sinner, and he not only was a sinner, but he caused other people to sin by either propping up avodah zarah of Yeravam in two ways. Either he created this illusion that it could fly, or he said he replaced it, or he drew a mouth on it and said Anochi. And the last idea is that he prevented students from learning with Elisha, who was a great leader and a great prophet. So it's a fascinating memra here in this Gemara. This Gemara is interesting. But we have to understand what the flaw, again, we're going to understand what the flaw of Elisha was and the response of Gehazi to Elisha. What is that? And in the middle of that is the story of Arhav Torah, which is that Gehazi and his sons were the ones who discovered the whole Machane Aram, and they ended up looting it and ending the famine. But first, let's understand Elisha and what the flaw was of Elisha. Okay? Anybody have any questions at all or any ideas? Okay, so let's look at the story a little bit more, and I feel like if we go into the story a little bit more in depth, and we'll understand the flaws here, and we'll get to an idea, a main idea here. So the story is in. I only wanted to put in a couple of seconds. Look in source number 8, Malachim Beis Perek Hay. So if you didn't remember the Gemara and the story that I mentioned before, so we'll go through some of the facts here. So it says Vayomer Gehazi. This is after Naaman leaves Elisha. Naaman was the Sar Tzva, the general that Elisha had cured from Tzaras. So it says, "Vayomer Gehazi nar Elisha ish ha'Elokim, hinei chasach Adoni es Naaman arami hazeh mikachas miyado eis asher hevi, chai Hashem ki im ratzi acharav v'lakachti me'ito me'uma." So Gehazi says to himself, the Mefarshim say he says to himself, that that Elisha ish ha'Elokim, he stopped Naaman and he didn't want to take anything, but I'm going to run after him and I'm going to take something from him. So Vayirdof, look in Chaf Aleph, Vayirdof Gehazi acharei Naaman. Vayira Naaman ratz acharav vayipol me'al ha'merkavah likraso vayomer ha'shalom. So Gehazi runs after Naaman, and Naaman gets off of his chariot, and he greets Gehazi. So Gehazi says, "Vayomer shalom Adoni shlachani leimor hine ata zebo elai shnei narim har Ephraim ibnei Anivim t'nala ham kikar ketzav shtei chalifos begadim." So Gehazi, he says that my master sent me, meaning Elisha sent me. And really, there are these two young students that came to him, and they need money and they need clothing. So Naaman gives him 2 talents of silver, and he gives Gehazi the clothing, and he takes. And Naaman sends his servants, 2 of his servants, to carry all the stuff with Gehazi. So Gehazi, he takes the 2 talents of silver back to his hidden secret place, and he sends the servants away, and he keeps the stuff for himself. So Elisha says, "Where did you go?" And Gehazi lies to him, and he says, "I didn't go anywhere." So it says, Elisha knows, "Vayomer love, lo libi halach kasher hafach ish ma'al merkadol lekrasecha, ha'es lakachas es ha'kesef, lakachas begadim v'zeisim l'chram v'mitzon v'akar v'avadim u'shvachos." So he says, "I wasn't with you. Was my heart with you the way that the one who stepped down from his chariot with that Naaman was with you? Was my heart with you the same way Naaman's heart was with you? That it's a time to take all this stuff?" V'tzaras Naaman tidbak b'chav v'zarach ha'lo'olam v'yitzem l'fanav mitzora kashalig. And he says at the end, Elisha says to Gehazi, the tzaras of Naaman, the leprosy of Naaman, should stick to you and your offspring forever. And he leaves him, and he's completely white like snow. So it's just the inside story here. So what exactly, again, we have to understand the flaw of Gehazi a little bit, and why Elisha approaches Gehazi in this way, and what the flaw of Elisha was based on the Gemara. Okay? It's the same questions as before. Just one other point, and then we'll get to the answer. So one other point. In source number 7, it's a famous question. The question is, why did the children get punished? It's always a question. Why are the children getting punished? So the Radak says, it was only his living children. It wasn't the future generations. They would never be cured. So if Gehazi was a chote, what did his children do that they should get tzaras? So the children, they weren't innocent. They knew what was going on, and they didn't stop him, and they didn't say anything. So because they were complicit in this sin of Gehazi, they were also afflicted with tzaras. So the story is, in the end of the story, Gehazi gets this incurable tzaras, and so too 3 of his sons. Okay, so let's understand this whole story. Let's break it down. So what exactly was the punishment and the interaction between Elisha and Gehazi that the Gemara is criticizing Elisha for? So let's look at the nature of Elisha's punishment to Gehazi. If you look in source number 8, this is going to be the opening to understanding the idea of the Gemara. So the Barbanel on Malachim, he gives some insight into what the nature of the punishment to Gehazi was. So if you look in Chafei, the Acharei She'asizeh Halach Lifnei Elisha, after Gehazi had done this heinous act, he took money from Naaman when he wasn't supposed to, he goes to Elisha, he goes back to his master, V'hu Shalu Ma'ayin Ba, and Elisha asked him, we saw in the Pesukim, he asked him, where are you coming from? V'chicheish lo Gehazi, ba'amro lo halach avdecha ana va'ana. So he's tricking him, he's lying to him, and he says to Elisha, I didn't go anywhere. V'yishivu ha'navi lo libi halach. And the Navi responds, Elisha responds, my heart did not go. Rata lomar lo halach libi mimenu, l'she ye'elam mi libi, kasher hafach ish me'amer kavto l'krasecha, shehu Naaman. So he says that my heart wasn't with you. This was not what I wanted, basically. And I wasn't with you the way that Naaman was with you. The way that Naaman gave you the money, my heart was not with that, was not with you. Kiva emes ani yodeze, I know this. Ha eis la kachas ha kesef. He says to him, is it time to take money? Klomar, ha'imaya eis kazeh asher iskadesh Hashem le'inei ha'amim. Roy v'hagun lishtakeach kesef v'gadim, lishtikach kesef v'gadim. So Elisha's response is that this was a moment where a tremendous Kiddush Hashem took place, that Elisha cured Naaman. And he says, is that really appropriate? Is it the time to take money and clothing? Ulefisha gechazi hifkid ha'kesef liknos yimenu zesim v'churamim udvar macherim. He was storing the money to buy all this other stuff. Amar, that's why Elisha says, v'zeisim u'churamim, and that's why Elisha says all these things. So the reason why Elisha says that Gehazi took all these things is because he was storing the money and the clothing to sell it to buy a lot of wealth and to buy a lot of stuff. V'lachin, therefore, shuras adin nosenes, shetzaras naman tidbak bechav zaracha. Therefore, it was appropriate that the tzaras of Naaman should cling to you. Lefisha acharei shehu nasan ze pidyo nafsho v'kofer tzaraso v'ata kabalta kol miyado. Once you accepted all this stuff from him for curing his tzaras, roy gamkein shetikabel tzaras, you should also receive it. V'azia kesef abegadim mechir hatzaras. The kesef then the begadim are an exchange for the tzaras. Basically, you forfeited, you got the tzaras because you took the money and the begadim. And also, Taras was appropriate because he lied to Elisha. And he lied to him when he asked him, where did you go? He said, I didn't go anywhere. Chazal saying, there are seven reasons why a person gets Taras. One of them is, if you lie and you make a false testimony. So that was Gehazi. It was learned out from Gehazi that you're chayv taras, that you get taras as a result. So the Barbanel says that the reason why Gehazi got taras, according to Elisha, was because he basically forfeited, or he basically bought through taking the money from Naaman. He was basically in exchange getting the taras of Naaman. That was the payment for removing the taras. And also because he lied to Elisha, that's the idea of shvua shav, that testifying falsely results in taras. So fine, so the Barmanel kind of makes sense. But what was the flaw here? What did Elisha do wrong? I mean, it sounds like Elisha approached this properly. According to the Barmanel, the punishment was really appropriate for Gehazi. So what exactly did he do wrong? What exactly was the flaw here? So that's what we have to understand. And what's the idea of the tzaras also? The idea of the tzaras. So we'll explain that. Okay? So I think that there's one answer here, one idea to this whole story, to this whole Gemara. So the question that we asked in the beginning of the shiur was, what was the flaw of Elisha? So I believe that the flaw of Elisha is an idea, is reflected also in the flaw of Gehazi, which is that when he distanced himself from Gehazi, so it sounds like he severed the relationship completely. So if you go back to the Gemara, go back to source number 6 in the Gemara on the first source sheet, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo'olam teh smol doche v'yamin mekareves. So a person should always push away with the left, and he should bring closer with the right. Lo ke'elisha shedachvo l'gechazi b'shtei yadav. Not like Elisha, who pushed him away with his two hands. So what is the idea of the Gemara? The idea of the Gemara is that the right hand is stronger than the left hand, And when a person separates or distances himself from somebody else, pushes them away, so you should do it in a way where you can preserve the ability to return or to bring them closer. So you should never separate or sever the relationship completely. With Alicia, though, he severed the relationship completely. It's like when a married couple's fighting. So the first step is usually separation, and then the second step in America is usually divorce. So the difference between separation and divorce is that when people are separated, there still is a basis or a foundation of a relationship that can be restored. But once you're divorced, so now there's a complete separation, a complete severance of the relationship that existed. So what exactly is Elisha saying to Gehazi that's problematic? What was the flaw here? So the flaw seemed to be that Elisha, when he was trying to distance himself, like the Abarbanel says, that the purpose of not taking money was to create a Kiddush Hashem. And he didn't want Gehazi to represent himself falsely, so he tried to distance himself from Gehazi, but he did it in a way where he severed Gehazi's relationship to him. And that was very dangerous for Gehazi. So the idea, the flaw of Elisha wasn't the idea that he gave him Taras, but the flaw of Elisha was that Elisha, in giving him the punishment, he did it in a way where he created a complete severance of relationship to Gehazi. And because of that severance, because he completely separated, it had a tremendously negative effect on Gehazi. So what was that effect? What did Gehazi do? So if you go back to the Gemara again, so the Gemara says that, how did Gehazi sin? And Elisha tries to bring him back to tshuva, but it says that he was machti asarabim. He basically caused them to do avodah zarah, or he prevented students from learning with Elisha. So what does that have to do with Elisha, with the flaw of Elisha? So Elisha underestimated the impact of the severance on Gehazi. So on the one hand, whenever you give tochacha to a person, you're supposed to always maintain that relationship, and you're never supposed to completely sever that relationship. And if you do, once there's a complete divorce, the problem is that oftentimes it's underestimated what the effect is going to be on the person that separated, especially when it comes to a teacher and a student, a teacher on the level of Elisha. And if you look in the Rambam in source number 11, so the Rambam says, "Hamochiach es chaveru tchila lo yidaber lo kashos ad shiach limenu." When you give somebody tochacha, when you're trying to teach them something and you're trying to give them tochacha for a sin that they did, you shouldn't speak to them harshly till they get embarrassed. Shnemar v'lo sisal avchet. Kach amr chacham yachol ata mochicho upon mishtanos. Hamalomar v'lo sisal avchet. You're never supposed to embarrass a person. Mikan she'asol adam lachlam es yisrael v'chol shekin barabim. Alfa pisha machlam es chaveru ino lokel avon gadol hu. So he says, so you're not supposed to do that. But of course, so the idea is that you're always supposed to be soft with another person when you're punishing them. You're not supposed to be harsh. And even though at the end, look at the end of the Rambam, he says, "Bamedvarim amurim, bedvarim should be an adam lechaveiro." That's only with regard to things that are between one person and another person. Aval b'divrei shamayim im lo chazer bo b'seiser machlim oso b'rabin u'mefarsim cheto u'machrifim oso b'fanav u'mevazin u'mekalklin oso achiyachso lemutav kimosha asu kol nevim b'yisrael. So when it comes to sins between man and God, so you're allowed to embarrass the person and you're supposed to be mecharef him. But the issue is that you can't do it in a way where there's no ability in the future to ever bring the person back, where the relationship is severed between the authority and the person that you're giving tochacha to. And Elisha's flaw here was that he pushed him away with two hands, meaning that he never maintained a relationship with Gehazi, and as a result, Gehazi sinned. So the sin of Gehazi was either twofold. Either he caused others to do avodah zarah, or he prevented students from learning with Elisha. So what does avodah zarah have to do with it? So I think the idea over here is another idea. It's tied to the overall general summary. But if you look in source number 9, it said when Elisha is addressing Gehazi, he says, "Vayomrei lav loli bi halach kasher hafach ish ma'amar kavdol lekarsecha eis lakachas es hakesef lakachas begadim zeisim uchramim etzon uvakar v'avidim shvachos." So he says to Gehazi, is it really time to take all these things? And really the problem the Gemara says is that he didn't take all those things. And the Radak says, like the Targum, "V'chashivta belibach," that you in your heart you thought, "lemikne," to buy zeisim uchramim be'an v'soren, you were going to buy with all this silver and with this clothing all these things. Klomar, chashavta min hakesef, liknos l'cha kol zeh. So what is Elisha doing? In the tochacha, in the separation, he's basically showing him insight into his own heart, into what he was thinking, in an omniscient, in a godlike fashion. And the issue was that Gehazi related to, it sounds like Gehazi related to Elisha as Isha Elokim, which everybody did, but he had a supernatural relationship or idea or image of Elisha. And once he was rejected from Elisha, it sounds like his anger was misplaced and he ended up rebelling against God. So why did he rebel against God? Because the way he related to Elisha was improper, and the superego of Elisha as an authority figure in his mind was so great that he even equated it with God. And the rejection by Elisha caused him to cause others to do avodah zarah. So that's the idea. The idea is that it's twofold. One is that Elisha's flaw was that he severed the relationship. He was dachlo b'shtei adayim. He didn't maintain a relationship that he could do, that he can create or cause him to do tshuva, but he severed it. And the reason he severed it was because he wanted to distance himself from the Naaman situation, but he did it in a way where he didn't allow Gehazi to ever return. And the effects of it is proof. Because the effect is that Gehazi had a certain idea or image of Elisha. He almost looked at Elisha in a godlike fashion. And the fact that Elisha is pointing out something that he was thinking, that he thought was secret, was even greater reflection of how Gehazi viewed Elisha. And once he was rejected, once his relationship with Elisha was severed, he also severed his relationship with God. And that's why he ends up rebelling completely, and he causes others to do avodah zarah. So that's the question. The machlokas at the end is, was it just that he had an anger towards Elisha, or was it that his anger towards Elisha was attached to an anger towards God? Because his idea or image of Elisha was an Isha Elokim, and once he was rejected by Elisha, he felt rejected by God as well, and it caused a rebellion amongst Gehazi, and it caused them to end up causing others to do avodah zarah. So it's a very deep idea here. It's a very critical idea in terms of just regular life. Whenever you approach somebody who's underneath you, an inferior, you always have to recognize the benefits of maintaining a relationship, that type of relationship, especially a Rebbe to a Talmud. And when you sever that relationship, the effects could be disastrous, because you can't really underestimate the way this Talmud looks at the Rebbe. And in this case, Gehazi's view of Elisha was almost equivalent to, it was a flaw in itself, but it's natural that the Talmud looks at his Rebbe as an Isha Elokim, as a man of God, as a person who's on a high level. And once Elisha rejected Gehazi, Gehazi felt rejected by God, and the end of the Gemara proves that, because it shows you that the flaw of Gehazi was attached to causing others to do avodah zarah. So the question, what does that have to do with Elisha? So that is the very point. That the flaw of Elisha was the way that he severed the relationship, and that he underestimated Gehazi's idea or image of who he was. In Gehazi's mind, Elisha was godlike, and that's what caused Gehazi to falter and to have this flaw. So let me just summarize the shiur, and then I just want to add one extra point at the end. So the shiur is about the story of Gehazi and Malchim Beis. And our Haftorah starts with the story of four lepers, of four Mitzrayim, which also is applicable to our Parsha Tazrim Mitzorah. And one of the who were the four Mitzrayim? There were Gehazi and his three sons. So who was Gehazi? So the Gemara says that Gehazi was a student of Elisha. And in Malachim Beis, the story is that Gehazi is duplicitous, and he takes money from Naaman without Elisha's consent. And he steals the money and he hides it away from Elisha. And Elisha finds out about it and he confronts Gehazi. And he gives him this tzaras, the tzaras of Naaman that he cured. So the Gemara says that Elisha was wrong, that Elisha was flawed here. And the Gemara says that he pushed him away with two hands. So what is the idea? What was the flaw by Gehazi? What does the Gemara mean that you have to keep somebody or push them away with your left and bring them close with your right? So the Gemara is saying that on the one hand, Elisha saw that it was necessary to distance himself from Gehazi and separate from him because he wanted to create a Kiddush Hashem. He didn't want the whole story of Naaman to be denigrated. But on the other hand, he severed any personal relationship of Rabbi Talmud with Gehazi, and it created, and the idea was that Elisha was flawed in that way, in the sense that he should have never taken it that far. He should have worked out a way where he could still maintain a relationship and distance himself from Gehazi, but he wasn't able to. And the results were disastrous because he underestimated Gehazi's fall from grace, because Gehazi looked at Elisha as this superego, as this tremendous figure, this Isha Elohim, who knew everything about him, who knew what was in his inner heart. He knew that he was duplicitous. And once he was rejected by Gehazi, he felt a tremendous sense of rejection, and it even was misplaced, and he felt rejected from God as well. And that's why the end of the Gemara says that it resulted in him causing others to do avodah zarah. So again, the idea that for us, the Mida idea, or the Deus idea, is that you have to recognize the power of relationships. Oftentimes, a relationship is more critical than an idea, per se. And if you sever a relationship, it can have a more disastrous effect than what you think it could have. You know, it depends on how the other person looks at you or views the person of authority. Okay, so that's the end of the share. So one last point, just in the last year, on Charoses, I just wanted to correct something. I gave, somebody asked a question about the Rambam, and I think I gave a wrong answer. The Rambam holds that you are supposed to dip Matzah Shel Mitzvah in Charoses, and it's the same idea, the same Svara as in the last year, which is that the concept of Charoses isn't tied to its Achila, but it's tied to the way that it looks, its appearance. So I just wanted to clarify that. So the Rambam holds that you should dip Matzah Shel Mitzvah in Charoses, because it's an idea in Lifton. So if you go back to the shir at some point in your life and you re-listen to the shir, so I wrote a note also by the shir, but just remember that fact that there was an error in that shir. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Any questions on the shir?
Any questions?
Sure.
Hi, this is Jesse. Was this significant that the lepers were the ones who found the food?
Great question.
Did they find the food?